Has there been a time in your life when you've experienced emotional or physical pain? Maybe that's where you find yourself right now. Well, if so, keep listening. It may not seem like it at the time, but the pain you feel might be a gift. The gift of grace grants us access to God's presence and a new status as His redeemed children. But pain is also a gracious gift from God, which He uses to produce in us Christ-like character.
So far, we've discovered here in Romans chapter 5 that salvation is a gift that keeps on giving even more gifts. Verse 1 informed us that we've been given the gift of peace with God. We're no longer an enemy of God, but His child through faith in Christ. Well, now here in verse 2, we're told that we've been given another perfect gift, the gift of grace. The Apostle Paul writes, through Him, that is Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now, this expression here, obtained access, translates a Greek word that refers to being personally introduced to royalty. It's as if Paul is saying we've been brought into God's palace and introduced to divine royalty. A pastor I know wrote about an evening when he was preaching in the Washington, D.C. area, and in the audience was a member of the president's Secret Service. Well, he came up after the service and asked the pastor if he and his family would like to tour the White House. Well, of course, they agreed. The next morning, they met at one of the gates there at the White House, and when they stopped at the first guard station, the guard, well, looked at this family and then over at the Secret Service agent and then waved them in, saying, well, you're with him. You can go on in. Well, as they entered the White House, more guards stood in their way until they glanced at that agent. And they also said, well, you're with him. You can go on in. Well, let me tell you, beloved, no angelic guard's going to refuse you entrance into God's palace of gold and glory. They're going to see Christ accompanying you. And they're going to effectively say, well, you're with him. You can go on in. See, we've been given the gifts of peace and grace, this access because we stand in grace. Well, now the next gift is, well, it's a little surprising. It's what I'll call the gift of pain. Paul writes in verse 2, not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but now verse 3, we also rejoice in our sufferings. I got to tell you, that's a shocking statement, isn't it? But here it is. Paul is thanking God for the gifts of grace and peace, the assurance it gives us, access to God. Now he also praises God for suffering. The Greek word here for suffering, thlipsis, can be translated pressure or pain. Well, have you ever thought about the fact that physical pain is essential? It's actually a warning signal telling you to take your hand away from that hot stove or that you've twisted your ankle and you need to stop walking on it. Paul is revealing here that just as physical pain is essential, so suffering and affliction and the pain of adversity are not only inevitable in life, but essential in life. Now, obviously, he's not telling us to enjoy pain. Nobody enjoys pain. Many Christians today reject the idea of pain as a gift from God. They'd rather believe the shallow promises of all those prosperity preachers out there that, you know, anybody who's suffering must be out of the will of God. They preach that sufferers are sinners. And if you don't experience prosperity, health, and wealth, well, you just don't have enough faith in God. Well, now, what are they going to do here with the Apostle Paul's own testimony? And he writes it to the Corinthian church over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8, that he was afflicted in every way. Well, guess what? The word afflicted Paul uses is a form of the same Greek word he's using right here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3. It's translated here, sufferings. Now, in Paul's day, the word was used to describe olives being squeezed in the press or grapes being trampled underfoot. Let me tell you, this word conveys the idea of pressure that produces pain. And Paul makes this shocking statement here. We rejoice in our sufferings. In other words, he's saying it's possible to praise God when you go through the squeezing, the pressure, the painful experiences of life. This is possible for believers only, by the way, if we understand that God uses pain for at least two reasons. First, he might use pain to correct us. The psalmist writes over in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." In other words, the Lord allows pain and pressure to grab our attention and direct our steps, guard our steps according to God's word. Several inmates have written to Wisdom International telling us that their arrest and imprisonment actually brought them to saving faith in Christ. It changed their direction in life, ultimately for the glory of God. Well, secondly, God sometimes uses pain not only to correct us, but to construct us. And this is what Paul is emphasizing here in Romans chapter 5. He writes here in verse 3, again, "We rejoice in our sufferings." Why? Well, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance is a word for the ability to bear up under pressure, to persist in following Christ. So suffering strengthens our spiritual muscles of endurance. You know, part of our problem with pain is that we think the Lord just wants to do a little remodeling in our lives, you know, maybe just a little construction project on our character. But let me tell you, the Lord isn't into remodeling. He actually shows up with a bulldozer and he starts from the ground up. Beloved, his construction projects in your life and mine aren't going to last a couple of days or a few months. His construction management company, led by the Holy Spirit, has building plans that are going to last your entire life. What does he intend to build into you, build from you, of you? Well, Paul tells us here in verse 4, "And endurance produces character." That's a word for spiritual depth, virtuous character. The word translated character carries with it the idea of a first century goldsmith who worked at refining the gold ore that he would put in his fiery crucible. The only way to separate the gold from unwanted impurities was to reduce the ore to liquid form by intense heat. The impurities would rise to the surface and he could skim it away. And I have read that when the goldsmith could clearly see his reflection on the surface of the liquid, he knew that gold was pure. Well, let me tell you, the Lord is removing impurities as he builds our character to reflect more of his image. And that's not all. Paul writes further here in the last part of verse 4, "And character produces hope." Hope, by the way, is the assurance that God is at work in our lives. Have you ever thought about the fact that God never promised to remove pain? However, he does promise to control it and use it to correct us and to construct us after his son's own image. Sometimes when I'm driving around town, I'll see a sign that says, "Under construction," and I have to slow down, and I certainly need to stay alert. Beloved, your life happens to be under construction. And there are times when you might have to slow down, and you certainly want to stay alert. But here's the good news. The architect, the site manager, the owner of the property is your Savior. His work in your life, painful as it might be at times, is producing endurance and character and hope. Well, finally, Paul writes here in verse 5 that your hope in Christ will never put you to shame. I couldn't help but think of Fanny Crosby, the hymn writer. When she was only 6 weeks old, she developed an eye inflammation. The doctor's careless treatment left her blind. She would later write that she viewed her blindness as God's gift to her so that she would have spiritual sight, poetic insight that would bring him glory. In fact, I have read in her biography that when she was only 8 years of age, She wrote this little poem, and I got to tell you, it's convicting to me and probably to you as well. Here's her rather wise perspective, even as a young girl. She wrote this, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world, contented, I will be." How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind? I cannot and I won't. Well, that's what I call graciously accepting the gift of pain and turning it into a wonderful expression of faith and praise to God. Beloved, suffering happens to be the universal language of the human race, and I'm certain every one of you is suffering from it in some way today. Would you consider it by faith a gift that brings you closer to Christ, to correct you, to construct you, so that even in your weakness, you will depend even more upon His strength? Well, until we set sail next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Stephen called today's lesson, "The Surprising Gift of Pain." Do you know someone who's experiencing pain and could benefit from hearing today's lesson? Why not share it with your friend? We've posted it to our website to make it easy for you to pass on. You can share the link to today's message in an email, or you can post it to your social media feed. That would help more people find this content, but in particular, help your friend or loved one who's experiencing pain. Once again, this lesson is called The Surprising Gift of Pain. You'll find it on the homepage of our website, wisdomonline.org. We update that page each day with the current day's lesson. We also archive all of the previous days as well, so you can find all of them. Our website, once again, is wisdomonline.org. I hope you'll visit there often. If this lesson was a blessing to you, let us know. Write to us at info@wisdomonline.org. And then join us back here next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey.